Back in the VIP room for lesson number 34, I figured I'd start it off today because I haven't been talking as much as I used to, and I figure why not start talking again, so I'm starting it up.
I'd starting the lesson out. His older brother, we've been getting some comments, has been talking way too much, and I need to start shutting up, but this is actually our dynamic normally. I normally am the one who's known to run my mouth quite a bit, so pardon me if you're getting annoyed by that.
It's actually kind of funny because I also run my mouth, but since Andrew runs his mouth more than I do, he likes to take the, I guess, lion's share of the talking.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing half the time. Once I open my mouth, I just keep going. We are taking a break today. I wrote a dialogue, taking a break from the business secrets. We will get back to that. One reason is it's been too businessy lately. Another one is I couldn't really think of any more secrets, and I think I'll have some better ones next week. But anyway,
we had a really fun time last night. We were invited on a boat ride with a bunch of NBA students, and it was just a bunch of people drinking and socializing, and you know, people wanted to learn about some business secrets from us, so we figured we'd share it, kind of like a guest appearance for the NBA students.
Yeah, it was a really interesting group, and a group of people that we normally don't interact with, so it's kind of like this boat bar. It's really like a cruise ship for 3 hours going around Shanghai, and at the beginning, everyone was super nervous, including us. It always feels weird in these kind of situations, but then you have a beer or two, you start relaxing, and everyone was really nice, had a lot of fun.
Well, we also felt a little bit weird because we literally almost missed the boat because the taxi driver dropped us up at the wrong spot and we had to run down the street for about 10 minutes and it was pretty bad because we almost missed the boat.
And I'm a really slow runner, so it was more like 15 minutes for me and I was the last one of about 200 on the boat. Anyway, starting to ramble again here, Ad, let's jump into the dialogue. Hey, I've been meaning to ask you, how was that new amusement park you went to last week?
It's really not all it's cracked up to be.
Really? Why didn't you like it?
It's super touristy and caters mostly to families with young kids.
Were the rides any good?
I kid you not, my 90-year-old grandmother could have easily gone on any of the rides.
That sounds brutal. Did the park have any redeeming qualities?
The ice cream wasn't bad.
All right, so this dialogue here sounds like a terrible amusement park, and I normally love amusement parks if they're good with fun, exciting rides and not too many people. There's a new one here in Shanghai, and I haven't been yet, and I don't even know what it's like, but I was kind of thinking about it. It's actually supposed to be pretty good. First phrase here, Ad, why don't you explain that one?
Okay, well, the first phrase here is, I've been meaning to ask you, and this is just a way of saying, I've been wanting to ask you something for a while, but I haven't had the chance or just haven't felt like asking you something.
Yeah, exactly. And when you say this phrase, I've been meaning to ask you, often what you mean is you kind of intend to ask this person and maybe you've seen them a bunch of times, but every time you see them, you start talking about something else and you keep forgetting to ask them. And then finally, this time you remember and you go, oh, right, perfect opportunity. I've been meaning to ask you something.
Right, exactly. It just means that for some reason you haven't asked them. It could be because you forgot or it could be another reason.
Yeah, and you can say I've been meaning to do something but haven't. So it just means you keep forgetting or you want to do it for some reason and haven't done it yet. Can you think of an example here, Ad?
Okay, you might say, I've been meaning to ask you your opinion of the movie you saw last week. I'm thinking of going to see it today.
Right, exactly. So you've been wanting to ask the guy about the movie and you keep forgetting or haven't yet. So that's your way of saying, okay, now's a good chance to ask. Another one is, I've been meaning to ask you about your trip. How was it? So it's just, you might hear this. It's a way of saying basically what we said. It's pretty easy and you guys are smart guys. You get it. Next one is a good slang term here, Ad, that is used in spoken English. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Here we said it's really not all it's cracked up to be. Same thing. And can you think of any examples or describe what this means?
This is just a slang phrase that means it's not as good as people say it is. people say good things, but in your opinion, you find that it's not as good. It's not as good as it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, so if something's cracked up to be a certain way, it's hyped up, people say it's awesome, it's supposed to be really sweet, but if it's not all it's cracked up to be, it's worse than that. So an example is I was pretty disappointed with the food at the restaurant. It really wasn't all it was cracked up to be. So the food sucked, basically. You heard good things, you were all excited, you were hopeful, and it wasn't good.
You're always using this in a negative way. It has to be, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Right. It's never, oh, it was what it was cracked up to be. It's just not used that way. So it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's not as good as people say. Next one, add touristy. And the two of us really hate touristy places personally. And what is a touristy place?
It's just a place where a lot of tourists go. People that travel go to this one area, and people will be selling you a lot of things just for people that are traveling and not living there permanently.
Right, and this is used in a negative way almost all the time. If something is touristy, as Ad said, there's lots of tourists, it's often overpriced, it's too crowded, and there's just something annoying about it. It doesn't feel fun. You're not really getting into what the local people do, which is what we like to do. We don't like to go to touristy places. We like to go maybe where there's some tourists, kind of a mix. But if something's too touristy, you can just imagine a bunch of old people running around with their stupid cameras taking pictures of stuff, and it just makes it boring, and people are selling you garbage on the street, and it's just dumb, right? You want to do something that the local people do. At least that's how we feel.
Exactly. And this is a relative term as well, because some people would think where we go might be touristy because they might like to go in a place where there's literally no one there and there's not even running water or electricity. This would not be touristy, but at the same time, not very comfortable.
Yeah, so I don't like the opposite of touristy. So we're kind of, in our minds, somewhere in the middle. I don't know how to do anything without running water or electricity. I feel pretty bad without a hot shower, I'd have to admit. And I'm afraid of cold water.
The next word we have here is caters. And we use this word to say that a place targets a specific group of people. Okay, you might say their product caters mostly to teenagers. It's for teenagers mostly.
Yeah, so if it caters to something, as Ad said, it targets it. It's meant for that group of people. Or I could say that bar really changed business models. It used to cater to middle-aged office workers, but now it seems to cater mostly to university students. So who are you targeting? Who are you trying to get? Who do you want? So in this case, the amusement park, we said it wasn't all it was cracked up to be because it targets kids, young kids and families, and Ad and I aren't really in that group. So from our perspective, the park's not going to be very good, but maybe from the target audience, the young families, maybe it is good, but for us it sucked. I mean, we're just making up this story anyway, but that's what it means.
The next phrase we have here is any good, and this is just a slang way of asking if something is good. You have to have the any in front of it. Instead of saying, did you like the movie? You could say, was the movie any good?
Yeah, more slang, just another way of saying it to get more variety into your speech. Another one, you could talk about the restaurant. You could say, oh, was the food any good? You know, instead of, did you like the food? It's just I wouldn't say it's a better way, but it's another way to do it. So it's very important if you want to get more native to have these little ways of saying stuff like that. So if you hear someone say, is it any good? You'll know what they're talking about. And it's a good thing to add and a pretty easy thing to add into your slang kind of language. It's pretty slang. It's very casual spoken kind of English.
A phrase that I realize that I don't use too often, but a good one, and maybe I'll start using, is I kid you not. This is just a slang way of saying I'm not joking or I'm being serious.
Yeah, I kid you not is like I'm not kidding is what they're talking about. And it's said quite often. I do use it when you're being serious, and it's kind of a fun way to say it. You could say, I kid you not, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. Or, I kid you not, last night was the most fun I've had in the past 5 years. Last night was fun. Actually, it wasn't. I would be kidding if I said it was the most fun in 5 years. But just an example sentence. All right, the last one, Ad, is a very good term here to use, redeeming qualities. And these mean good qualities that help to compensate for all these bad qualities. So I could say to this girl, imagine I like some girl, or it's just a regular friend, and she's describing her boyfriend, he's terrible for some reason. I could say, he sounds terrible. I can't believe you would date a guy like that. He must have some redeeming qualities. So in this case, I mean, there must be something good about him that would make up or compensate for all these negative qualities, or else why would you be dating a guy like that? Is there anything good about it? I know you've been saying there's a lot of bad stuff. Is there anything that helps to redeem himself? Are there any redeeming qualities? Is there anything that makes up for it?
Right. You usually use this phrase after you have listed a bunch of negative qualities about someone or something. And another example would be, she is so annoying to be around. Her only redeeming quality is that she is really pretty.
Okay, good example. Yeah. So the only good thing about her in this case is she's a very beautiful girl. She's very pretty. She's got a lot of bad qualities, though. The only one that's good, her only redeeming quality, the only thing that helps to redeem herself, which means to make her better, is that she's good looking. And I guess that is a redeeming quality.
That's a great redeeming quality, actually. I'm a bit of a sucker for a pretty face sometimes, even if the rest of their personality or whatever they have going for them stinks, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of men fall into this trap. I must say I've been pretty guilty in the past of falling for good-looking women with no other redeeming qualities.
Right, it's easy to justify to yourself that they're actually good people when they are good-looking, even though they don't really have any other good qualities for some reason.
Yeah, and no other redeeming qualities. And then you start deluding yourselves and pretending that maybe they do have a bunch of good qualities. We've all seen guys do this. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, that pretty much wraps it up here. I hope I didn't talk too much. If I did, comment please on the website. You know what it is, Ad. Why don't you mention it?
www.china232.com.